You are listening to Sister Speak Life with your host, Marlene Paul.
A lot of people think, okay, 2020 vision, I'm going to see. God's putting his lenses on you now so you can see the way he sees you. Either see what he's seeing or you're blinded by what's going on.
Don't see how you can be.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, he's showing you he's showing you the character of people, everybody.
Everywhere.
That was, remember that prophecy I also talked about, the veil being removed.
And I'm so glad that you're back with us today. As we close out this year, 2020, I would like to take a moment and tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys being a part of our podcast community, being a part of this journey with us as we move forward into 2021 and continuing doing what God has called us to do. And before we get to our show today, I want to continue to remind you that first, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you may be notified whenever we have a new episode launched. Secondly, I would like you to share this podcast with a friend and leave a review of how this is encouraging your soul. And also, we always would love to invite you to our Facebook community. We are growing and thriving, and we're encouraging each other in the purpose that God has called us. And just in this time, you need a community that would encourage you, lift you up, and pray you through. Now, on today's episode, Erica and I are reflecting on our year 2020, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, and everything in between, and how God has worked for us in our lives. And we have a special message that we share of how God has spoken to us this year. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope it encouraged your soul.
Hi guys, we're back, and I am so excited about today's topic. This is Marlene speaking, and we're doing a little reflection on 2020.
And how, we mean in me. I'm here, you guys.
Yeah.
It's Erica.
Yeah, so I'm already going in. You know, but like, before we even got on, we were already talking, how are we going to reflect on 2020? You know, and I say I'm loving, but also there are some challenging. This year has been challenging. It's been pushing us to be more resilient this year. Right, Erica?
Yes. That's the word, I think, for 2020 is resilience.
Resilience. So this year started off so interesting. Let's just begin with Kobe dying. That is just like, when that happened, how did you feel? And his daughter. I woke up and I thought my husband was joking. And I thought my brother was joking.
I remember when I found out. I literally went into Lucky's Market. It was right around the time they were closing. Mm-hmm. And I walked in the store and they said, Erica Kobe died. And I was like,
stop joking.
I was like, this isn't even funny. I'm like, Matt, come on. You know, that's one of the guys. I was like, Matt, come on. My husband was in the car. Mm-hmm. And I just remember he said no. And he took me to the cafe area and he pointed at the TV and my mouth dropped.
I
ran outside to your brother because I knew he didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I told him, and he just sat there in the car and did not say a word. He did not move. He just sat there and just stared off in the space.
Yeah. It was like, you know, when you said it's like your family member died, you feel the pain because you just know, you know, you were so young, you know, so it's like, Lord, in the way, and his daughter, and like, and all these other people that were on the plane, I'm like, Lord, it's just, that's kind of, you know, it's a weird way to start off 2020, you know,
it was
sad way. And then for me, in our family, the next couple months, I found out one of my cousins had cancer, and then he passed away from cancer.
Wow.
It was just like, okay. And then there were, and in the midst, of, we were it was the beginning part of hearing the little word of that cruise ship, you know, quarantine for the pandemic, for that virus. I'm like, what is going on? You know, and then I'm at work and they say, okay, we have an emergency meeting. I already booked my flight to go to Canada because I'm going to my husband. I'm going to my cousin's funeral. I'm thinking, okay, I see someone with a mask on the plane. I'm like, why are they doing all that? You know, because before we left, they had a whole emergency meeting that we might have to go on lockdown. I'm thinking, okay, we might have an extended, you know, winter. We have an early spring break. So we will have, you know, I'm not thinking that. I came back and school is shut down. Wow. There was 7 people on the plane coming back from Canada. 7 people on a big plane. We got treated as VIP. And we were not wearing a mask.
You didn't have to wear it.
Imagine walking through the, I had a connecting flight, walking to my connecting flight and not seeing anybody, like a ghost town in the airport. And wow. And then when you see people wearing masks, it was like, why are they wearing a mask? Why are they being so dramatic? You know, it's like, it's not that serious. And then now it's like, why are you not wearing a mask?
Completely same statement, completely different tone.
Oh God. I was like, it was just, and then to try to do teaching online and figure it out. Although I was already teaching online for my ministry already. So I end up having to teach other teachers how to do it, but how to teach online without being Zoom bombed by other people. So that's the beginning of 2020. I don't know how your beginning was. That was the beginning of my.
Well, my beginning. Okay, so let's laugh for a minute. As I told you guys before, I'm a chef and I'm in the culinary industry. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I love is to lead a team. You know, I have leadership in my blood. God mm-hmm. called me to leadership. So I took a back step to the kitchen and actually went into more of leadership positions in my, you know, in my work background. Mm-hmm. So I had taken a new position that I was very excited about at Lucky's Market. Matter of fact, I'm wearing the t-shirt. I still love that place, even though they literally hired me in January and literally announced on January 26th that they were going bankrupt. And we were officially closed by the 11th of February. So I was literally there for less than a month. Wow. And it's so funny because right when they went bankrupt and right when they closed, the pandemic started. So I was looking for another job where I could lead people because I love to lead and I love to mentor you guys. That's mm-hmm. that's what I'm called to do. That's my passion. And I do that in the industry that I work in. That's why I always surround myself, you know, put myself in an environment where I'm always around younger people because I don't want them to be caught up in their position or where they don't want something bigger for themselves. They can always use the position to be able to get a position in this industry and run a team. Like me. So I go to places so I can go lead people like that. But mm-hmm. it's so funny because I literally was like, okay, first of all, I just started a new job. Everybody's going to get a severance. I'm not going to get a severance. I've only been there like 4 or 5 weeks, right? So I laugh it because God is something else. And I got a severance, you guys, just because of my position.
Wow.
So I'm telling you right before the pandemic, just because I was in a leadership position, it automatically gave me access to a severance pay, even though I wasn't there that long. So my year began with me having that issue. And of course, at that point, I was like, you know, it's just time for me to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And right when I was getting started, you know, I was about to go ahead and start doing consulting, you know, restaurant consulting, because, you know, I have a background with, you know, revamping restaurants so they can be at their highest level. The pandemic comes and shuts that down. So the first client that I had is like, first of all, I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford you because there's something coming on right now.
And like, what's coming on?
You know, I have to decrease my staff. I don't know if I can pay you. So, and the rest was history. I mean, like right after that, I was just home every day. And that was from March.
You know, hold on that. Remember, I had to talk about your husband, my brother. He was warning me about this pandemic before it even occurred. I'm like, you're going, oh, it was in October. He's like, you need to buy some N95 masks. I'm like, I just got a job. What are you talking about? Like, it was November. Like, yes, you need to buy some right now. I'm like, Eddie, you're
that
being
man of God. That man of God, I'm trying to tell you. Like, that man of God be tapped in, don't he?
I've been talking to some people, and it's like, but no, I don't see it over the news. I didn't see it on the news. The funny thing is, it was not on the news. And he like, mm-hmm. he called me out of the blue to go on Amazon, buy as much mess. I'm like, okay, where you get this doomsday mentality from? You know, and he was right. And he's my little brother. So, you know, as an older sister, you don't want to say your little brother was right. But he was right.
He's younger than her. But he's older than everybody else other than her. Okay, he's not that young. I don't want y'all thinking, dang, well, how old is she? No, he's not that much younger.
He's about 11 months younger. He's a year and a half. A year and a half younger than me.
Yeah.
So he's a year and a half younger than me. So, yeah. So it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's the other thing that's awesome, too, is, you know, my husband being so tuned in, you know, God preserved us, though. Exactly. You know, everybody else was having a hard time finding jobs. They were losing their jobs. They were being furloughed. And all this stuff was happening. And my husband, in his industry, you know, just because his industry is needed, he's still working. He's doing 6 days a week. You know, mm-hmm. he's coming home just as tired. And it's not that it got, you know, more busy for him. He's just always had, he's in an industry where it's always busy. Plus he's a graphic designer and everything else on top of what he does. Mm-hmm. So it's like, God has been keeping us. We haven't had to go without anything. We didn't have any points where we were struggling, you know, to make ends meet. And I believe definitely that was the grace of God on our life. You know, we cover our household. Yeah. We moved in it. We covered our household to make sure that there was always provision in it, that we were able to do everything that we needed to do and mm-hmm. be able to pay our bills and all this stuff. And God has definitely allowed that to happen. We have not struggled mm-hmm. even during the pandemic.
And I truly believe the reason why also is that because, you know, the reason why his job is prospering is because he is in it and he has a praying wife behind him.
Oh yeah,
I am. So that's
not just blessed as in the aspect of the fact that he's still working, but just the people that he encounters every day. Mm-hmm. There's just something about him. They just want to do something for him. They just want to bless him. So there's an exceedingly and abundantly and mm-hmm. above. There's a, you know, overflow that goes mm-hmm. to my husband. My husband is a walking man of God. Seriously, mm-hmm. like he loves people. He has a good heart and people just want to do stuff for him because there's just something about him. So, you know, we have not just gotten the blessing of him still working, but, you know, people have just opened up their hearts and just have physically blessed him, you know, financially blessed him from their pockets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you, I understand that. And then we're going back to our reflections on this year. You know, we got to a point where, you know, God is still blessing your family in this pandemic. Me, when I was coming back from Canada, and they tell me, oh, well, we're doing work from home after spring break. I'm like, okay. I was at a point where I wanted a break from going in every single morning. I wanted to stay home for a little while. So just coming home was a kind of a mixed blessing, and teaching from home the way they were trying to figure it out. So I didn't have to teach every day. It was like twice a week, and then meeting with my team and planning on how to do that and learning new technologies. So we were able to start the podcast in this season. And because I was like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? How, you know, we still have to, you know, I just had a vision board party with a group of people in person. And then in February, we had one in February in person, our last in-person event. And then I'm like, Lord, how are we going to continue this vision? And then he told me, go live every day for a month at 5. I didn't know what I was going to say. So I think we both went live sometime during this pandemic. You know,
when my husband was working, as I was saying before, when people were just blessing him financially and just investing mm-hmm. in his pockets and stuff like that. And he's, you know, walking around blessing. One of the things that they started blessing him with was, you know, he would tell them that I'm a chef.
Yeah.
And these people, you know, these these women had homes and houses and appliances and cooking, you know, slicers for meats and stuff like that, and whole, like, you know, cocktail bar sets and stuff like that that they had in boxes that they've never touched in their life. And the minute that he came around, they're like, "Are you married? Here." So I was like, okay, he would walk in the door with these gorgeous, like, pieces of, like, porcelain or these beautiful glass pitchers, mm-hmm. or, you know, he came in the house. Literally, you guys, I was in the kitchen cooking and I said, gosh, you know, I worked in a deli, you know, I worked at Whole Foods at one point and I mm-hmm. worked at Lucky's Market. So I worked in a deli and I wanted a slicer. And I said, that's ridiculous, right? People don't just want a slicer, okay? Yeah. I stood in the kitchen and I said, gosh, I wish I had a slicer because I would love to just slice fresh meat and just make myself a sandwich like I do at work.
Yeah.
And literally a week after, my husband goes to work, he goes out, he's working in these people's homes, and this woman says, here.
A slicer.
And it's a slicer.
Yeah.
A plug in, put a big slab of meat on it, turn it on, slices on it, slice.
Can't wait to be able to come to your house and you make me a nice sandwich.
So, you know, I'm like, it is so funny. And he's sitting here telling me, you know, he's like, I think you should do cooking classes. And this is all because all I did was start posting the food that I was making because I was able to cook a lot more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was able to do new recipes.
Still go back to your videos. I still go back to your videos.
I had a lot of fun doing them. But I mean, I never in a million years, it's so funny, I never in a million years would think people would watch. Mm-hmm. And I just did it because, so I did it because maybe one or two people told me that they wanted to see me cook or wanted to learn how to cook some of the stuff that I was posting. So I just went ahead and did the video, not really thinking anything about it and never thought it would be a big deal. And there it was, I would post and people would actually get on. And then I had these Friday night happy hours where I taught you how to mix certain kind of drinks and you mm-hmm. can make them non-alcoholic or alcoholic if you wanted to. And it was just a good time. And my neighbors loved it too, because after I would do the shows, I would come outside on my patio and all my neighbors would come outside during the quarantine and we would have nice little drinks and eat and laugh and have a great time. And mm-hmm. it brought us all closer together during a time of pandemic.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's still one of my positive reflections. We did that again last weekend.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we are
all. You didn't want live?
No.
Oh, no, was no, it, no, did no. I miss something?
No. They loved when I did that so much that even though I haven't been live, you guys, I haven't been live in a while, I know.
Yeah.
Just an FYI, another part of my reflection is me and my husband decided to go vegan. So I kind of pulled back on cooking because with the vegan food, even though I worked in a lot of environments that do a lot of vegan and vegetarian cooking and clean eating, I am still trying to train myself on how to cook vegan. So even though I've got some crazy awesome recipes, I'm still working on some. So
share,
I have
I will.
But I just, you know, we're vegan for health reasons. You know, we're trying to have a baby and, you know, it's just better for my body if I just kind of eliminate some of the
girls. Girl, I want a girl.
Girl and boy.
Whatever.
Knocked out in one bout. Okay.
I want a healthy baby. Healthy mom.
We have twins on both sides of our family and I would love to get it knocked out in one bout. My husband has twins on his side. I have twins on my side. We are believing God for two and one bout. Done. I don't have time to be pregnant again. I wanted to get pregnant one time.
Hopefully we're not listening to this so they won't, you know, he's ruined the surprise.
Oh my gosh. 2021 is a full steam ahead year for me. I know what God is calling me to do. But right now, you know, everything that has happened this year mm-hmm. is leading up to what's going to happen to come. And I think from my reflection, I learned a lot about myself. I learned I need to give myself a little more credit.
Yeah.
For some stuff that I, you know how you allow your circumstances and the way that you grew up to dictate the kind of person that you believe that you are. And sometimes mm-hmm. you set yourself at a lower standard than you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that for me, you know, I went to culinary school, but I didn't go to college. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, I should have went to college, should have did all this. Mm-hmm. But I realized that I'm extremely business savvy. Mm-hmm. I know how to do pretty much all these different things that have to do with starting a business, you know, getting a plan together, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was self-taught years ago. But in my mind, I think because I didn't go to school, I'm not as good as some people. But I realize that the people that do go to school have asked me for assistance to help them see what they don't see.
And I'm like, the same thing with her, with you. I think I went to school, but I have no life experience. I'm thinking I don't have enough life experience to do this and this and that. Although I have to realize I did have some experience that I didn't consider as experience. I'm thinking I was just volunteering my time. So that doesn't count as professional experience, but it was not, you know, but so you had, you know, and I had the degrees. So I'm like, I had the degrees, but I'm thinking I don't have like this professional paid experience to be an authority on certain stuff. And it's not true. So it's like you have that, but. No, we have resources.
And you don't realize that the things and the people that you encounter are really teaching you a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Because when certain things happen, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I knew that, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I actually know that. Yeah. And if I don't know it, I actually know where to go to find out how or what it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Because when you're saying that, like this year, when I reflect on this year with ministry-wise, you would think a ministry would die off. My ministry actually is thriving, where we're able to expand our ministry in two different segments that I would never thought that I would, you know, saying with the podcast and with helping other leaders, you know, learn about technology in ministry. You know, and you've seen a lot of small ministries who are so used to doing things in person and pushing away from technology before because it was in 2019 and 2021. They're trying and they're struggling to learn those things. And God said, you have the research. You went to Texas and the state, they put you in a training where you learn so much research as a teacher. Yeah. So I'm like wondering, why am I a teacher and in school and I'm doing a lot of technology? And look, lo and behold, all that I'm learning, I'm able to break it down to ministers so they can do their ministry effectively. Wow. So like, and Lord, keep on fine tuning the direction of what the purpose of the ministry is. You know, at first I was like so broad, and then later by little, God is fine tuning. Like right now, if I have to summarize Rose of Alpha Omega in two words, I could say leadership and it would be training and development. Because it's what we do overall. And and it's not only development with professional, but with ministry and with and personal. And it's a community that's just focused on that because there's a lot of leaders that's coming, a lot of women who, even if you don't think you're a leader, you are a leader. And you understand.
In some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Yep. And it's like the who we encounter that comes up, you know, that who I encounter, like even working with you, like this year I was able to work with you, a leader in your own right. I'm like, will she want to come on my little podcast? You know, she's like all professional and stuff like that. And, you know, because I see her like a big sister and I admire her. Like, oh my goodness, will she want to be, you know, and lo and behold, it was like, this was like the best thing ever. And I get to know my sister a little bit more.
Just an FYI, y'all heard that? Yes, her brother is younger than her, and I am older than her. So yes, I am older than my husband, but I don't look it. It looks reversed.
No, you don't. You don't look it. You know, my brother's an old soul anyways.
Yeah, he is. He is. I love that about him. He's very chivalrous.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, it's love. But
you know, I remember one of the things that I want to reflect on that was very powerful moment for me in 2020 was right when the pandemic started in March. I remember just falling on my face. No, let me go back one. This is how God works, okay? I had wanted to do my own thing for a long time. I've wanted to do ministry for a long time. I've wanted to do something with my cooking for a long time. And right when I got my job at Lucky's Market, I just remember falling on my face because, you know, sometimes the people that you're around, even your husband, and I'm just, you know, putting my business out there so some of you guys can, you know, feel me on this. But I remember my, you know, my husband is like, babe, I, you know, I need you, you know, to go, you know, to work. I need you to, you know, be working, do a job and, you know, bring some finances into the house, help out and everything. And I'm like, okay, you know, I did it. But I remember every time I would get a job, God would tell me, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I just remember when I was at Lucky's before they announced that they were closing, I had just fell on my face and I said, God, you know, how can I do anything? How can I do what you call me to do if I can't walk away from the responsibilities of my household by bringing in money and having a job? Because I know that you are telling me that I'm not supposed to, he's like literally telling me I'm not supposed to be working. I'm supposed to be working on my own stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I said, I wish there was a way that I could step back, still be able to pay the bills, but be able to go and focus on what you've called me to do. I wish there was a way that I could have a break from the bills, mm-hmm. so that I could go forward with what I need to do and have the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And literally, weeks later, the pandemic happened. When I say I was blown away, the pandemic happened, lockdown happened. Everybody was giving grace periods for every bill. They were sending extra money to people. And I laughed. Literally, this happened 3 weeks after I prayed that prayer.
Wow.
And
I think the same thing happened to me too. I prayed the same prayer.
I was baffled by that. Like, yeah. I was like, I can't believe the... What are the odds of something like that happening to give me the opportunity to do the very thing I wanted to do? Not only that, but it happening for a whole year. Okay. And right after that, I was like, okay, now that you told me this, what is it that you need me to do? And I just remember praying and praying and praying. And the very first time the Lord made me go live, I had never really been live before. I've done little things live, but I'd never really done anything prophetic live. Mm-hmm. And I just remember God saying, they need to know this. And I just remember going on and telling everybody what God wanted people to know about the pandemic. And that was when I went on and I was telling everybody, you know,
yeah, I remember that.
Said, you know, that the pandemic, you know, he said he would never flood the earth again, like, you mm-hmm. know, like with Noah and the ark, but he yes. said, you know, COVID-19 moved through this earth like water.
Yeah.
He's like, and I need people to understand that quarantine means you stay in the house. And the reason why you were quarantined and staying in the house is because I need you to focus on me. And I took away every distraction that could possibly occur in your life. I took your jobs and still giving you provision for your household. Mm-hmm. I am literally I'm taking care of your needs, but I'm making you take time to get in my face and find out what your next move is. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being so baffled by that and telling God I did not want to tell people that because I didn't want to feel any kind of negativity about
exactly.
it. I was like, you know, that's pretty powerful. You know, people are scared and all this stuff is going on. And
but
I just
it was like a flood. It was. Like
it literally,
a flood.
He said he would never flood the earth again, you guys. But look, it was like water. COVID-19 moved and is still moving over the earth like a body of water. It is
although
taking
it's
over
receding
every,
a little yes, bit, but it's still there.
It's still flooding. It's still over the whole earth, not over certain parts. It's over the whole earth like water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like either you have the lamb's blood on your door or you don't.
Yeah.
It's just like being in Egypt with the plague. In Egypt, and whether or not you have the blood of the lamb on your door to mark your door, or you don't. You either marked your doorpost or you didn't. And I remember just saying, you know, I'm believing that my family is going to be okay. And I remember my husband was out and he was working and somebody prophesied to him and told him, it's not going to touch your family. Mm-hmm. Now, these are people, that's another thing that he gets a lot in 2020 is a lot of prophetic words from a lot of these random people that he's never met in his life, prophesying over our family and over me and over our, you know, our pregnancy and our fertility journey. Yeah. We've had so many random people that don't even know that he's married, don't even know me, don't know him, prophesying words about what's going to happen with our pregnancy, what's going to happen with our children, what's going to happen in our household. Mm-hmm. And me having that is just something to keep me focused and going without that growing weary and well-doing thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I just remember talking to you about that because I remember that was probably one of my most powerful God moments that I've had to date.
Look, I know when we started this year, it was like 2020 vision, and God been spoken to my heart. So he's like, yes, vision. But when I did my second vision board retreat, he was saying, don't do it the same way everybody's doing it. Mm. Have them focus their eyes on me, you know, because I'm showing them things. I'm showing them who they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm showing who other people are. And what happened this year? It was vision, but it was more a uncovering.
It was a revealing. The veil being removed.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. all that different stuff was being so. A lot of people saying, okay, 2020 vision, I'm going to see, you know, what God, you know, all these different stuff going on. But it's like, yeah, you're going to see. God's putting his lenses on you now so you can see the way he mm-hmm. sees you. Either see what he's seeing or you're blinded by what's going on.
But he's see how you can be.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, just, he's showing you he's showing you the character of people, everybody.
Everywhere.
That was, remember that prophecy? That prophecy, I also mm-hmm. talked about the veil being removed.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like God said in this time, mind you guys, this was in March. This was before everything went the way that it went. This was before it happened that the Lord
if
spoke this word to
me. You can do a
repost
of
said,
that, you know.
I'll do a repost of it. But I literally spoke the words straight out of the mouth of God. He said in 2020, the veil is being lifted and you're going to see who people really are. Mm-hmm. And if you look, most of the CEOs of major companies in 2020 jumped ship because mm-hmm. a lot of them were doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing. And they were exposed. Our president mm-hmm. was exposed.
A lot of stuff was hitting because I know even with the BLM movement, a lot of things were on the field. People like, how, you know, and this is why people are saying, why, you know, why is it so mad? Why is it so intense with the BLM movement? Is because it's being seen clearly now. We mm-hmm. already know what's going on.
You can't deny, you know, what,
but
you're,
you can't
what you're
deny
seeing.
What you're seeing. Mm-hmm. So with a prevalent people of, you know, with this self-gratification, we have to record everything. So people start recording everything. And when you see that, because have other people before 2020 that went through the same situation, but it's like now that we're quarantined and we're sitting there, and you can't stop looking because you have nowhere to go. You're not worried about your work or anything else. You're able to focus and see what's actually going on. And you're able to sit with yourself and say, am I going to respond? How am I going to respond to this?
Mm-hmm. You're able to see the character of people. Mm-hmm. They can't hide it anymore. With mm-hmm. what's going on, you know, the very character of a person is going to surface in time of turmoil. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because everything is not great in anybody's life right now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see the real character of a person right now. And I'm like, we saw that with our president. We're even seeing groups, you know, like hate groups and racist groups of people that these people never knew were like that, but they felt comfortable enough in this time to come out and make themselves known to mm-hmm. the world that they are these kind of people. Yeah. The veil is being lifted off. You're finding out stuff about people probably on Facebook that you've known for years and they're posting things and you're seeing them for who they really are. But the question that you have to ask yourself, mm-hmm. the question that you have to ask yourself is it for you to judge? It's not for you to judge them. It's for you to know who to pray for.
Exactly. And I was about to say that, you just said it right now, because like, how do we respond to that? Mm-hmm. No. So the correct response is prayer, because it's not our place to judge. It's our place to pray and ask God. Because even with, I think we should also pray for ourselves also, because there is hurt in it. So you see, mm-hmm. you know, you of course you might say, okay, Lord, I judged. And it hurt a little bit because to know that the person thinks that way, and you mm-hmm. never, and you feel like maybe they don't care about your well-being. But remember, it's not their place to care about your well-being. It's God's place, mm-hmm. you know. And God gives you that discernment and that wisdom on how to move forward. And as we pray for God to work with them and deal with them, and then deal with us and heal us too, and show us how to love the way he would love. And that's hard. I can't love like how God loved. because, you know, I'm trying, and I'm, every day I'm trying and asking God to be perfected in that. But I know I'm not Christ, and I'm trying to be Christ-like. And I know we were talking about that before, Erica, about who we're representing. And I just want to make sure that whatever I'm doing, I'm representing Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that your heart is right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, for me, I can say when I struggle, you know, when I look at somebody and I can't help but judge them, you know, one of the ways that you can definitely prevent yourself from mm-hmm. passing judgment or from looking at someone's situation and allowing yourself to, you know, assume whatever is going on about that person, maybe true, false, or, you know, or think the worst of them. One of the things that I do personally is I take a moment and, you know, and I keep a safe distance. You know, one of the things that I think helps me stay in a place of love towards my brothers and sisters is allowing myself with things I know is not okay mm-hmm. to keep a safe enough distance away from the situation to allow my spirit to get right before I go back to it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's wisdom.
I don't hurt them. I don't. You know, the word of God talks about, you know, don't try to pull the splinter out of your brother's eye until you take the plank out of yours. You know what I'm saying? I had my plank removed a long time ago, and I'm not trying to put it back in there. It was painful. Okay. Yeah. It hurts. You know, a splinter can hurt too, but a plank is very painful. I'm not trying to have a plank in my eye again. So I try to keep myself in a place where I am always constantly in God's face, and I'm always able to ask God, what am I supposed to say and do? Mm-hmm. And I was talking about this on another podcast, you know, being very mindful of what you're saying, making sure that you fall on your face, you ask God,
yeah.
What am I supposed to say to this individual that's going to help them and not hinder?
Exactly.
You know, the right H word. You want to help somebody. You don't want to hinder somebody. You don't want to hurt somebody. You want to make sure that when you speak, your words do something. Even in marriage,
yeah.
If you're arguing with your husband and during the pandemic, that's another thing that's prominent. And I talked about this with some of my girlfriends. Marriages are falling apart right now because people are quarantined with their spouses, and they're to the point where they don't really want to be around each other anymore. And they are divorcing because they let the quarantine get to them. And in actuality, it should have made you stronger.
And that's one topic too. We can talk about how to make it strong, how to make it through quarantine and be stronger as a marriage, you know?
Yes. But one of the things that you have to do, like mm-hmm. I've learned more in this in 2020 that I can actually say that is bringing me into 2021 that's reflective for me, is being mindful of what comes out of my mouth and mm-hmm. knowing when God is telling me something to pray over mm-hmm. and what he's telling me to speak. Yeah, because just because he lets you know, yes.
I put it right there. Can be supernatural.
Just because I fell on my face and God answered my question and told me what I need to do and told me about the situation doesn't necessarily mean I'm supposed to tell the person that I'm thinking about, that I'm praying over what God told me. Sometimes it means that he's telling you to cover it in prayer.
Yeah.
You need to ask him, am I supposed mm-hmm. to speak? The Bible says be slow to speak and quick to listen. That means shut up. Yeah. Listen. And then answer and then talk. And in that time, you are going to either know if you're supposed to say what you're thinking, what God is putting on your heart, or you're supposed to just take it to him in prayer. And that is one of the things that has helped my marriage, because I don't ever want my husband to think that I'm hurting or hindering him. I want him to know that I'm trying to help him. God made me his wife. As a wife, we are called to be a help.
In order
to be a help, you need to ask God, what do I need to do to help him? Yeah, he's doing this, but am I supposed to tell him he's doing this, or am I supposed to take it to you and ask you to do it? The ironic thing is, when I take it to him, he goes over to somebody's house and works, and somebody goes up to him and prophetically answers my prayer to him and doesn't know him, and he's able to receive it because he doesn't know the person, but they're talking like they've known him all his life. And they talk like they know me. So God works, you guys, even when you don't feel that he's working, or you feel like, oh my gosh, he's been doing this for so long. It's really getting on my nerves. Fall on your face. I'm telling you, you think God don't hear, but he uses the foolish thing to confound the wise. And as foolish as that sounds, it does exactly what it needs to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I was one of the signs saying, be still. And this is what I had all year. God said, be still. You know, being still is simple, but simple can also be supernatural. So because you need to be, I had that on my computer to remind me. Sometimes I just need to be still. Sometimes you don't have to say something. The most powerful thing you can do is to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest thing to do, especially if we like to talk.
Yeah. And understanding where somebody, truly understanding where somebody is coming from, you know, it's in listening.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take a part of what someone says and then run with it if they didn't completely tell you where they're coming from and why they feel that way. And all you're getting, get understanding to truly help somebody, you have to hear their whole story and not part of it.
Yeah. And that's also one thing that helped this year with my marriage, because one of my goals this year with my husband was to have a stronger marriage. And, you know, if I tell you how we started off January to how we are right now, it's only God that we are where we are right now. So it's like, you know, it's the part of listening and trying to hear each other out and being still enough to say, okay, God, give me wisdom to know where they're coming from and how to respond to that.
That's and not powerful.
It's just because otherwise you can jump to conclusion that is not necessarily true. And just being transparent and saying, okay, this is how it's making me feel, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm just trying to understand and where you're coming from. Can you clarify? And that's really hard to do. And my husband and I, and we're going on 9 years. Next year will be 10 years of marriage. So it's just like, Lord, you know, is this, give me that wisdom, you know, give me that wisdom of how to do it. Because, you know, it's easy to walk away. The hardest thing is to fight and stay together. And I'm just saying, Lord, we chose to fight and stay together. And that fight, like physical fight, guys. I'm talking about just fight where we decide we're going to make it work. Even in this pandemic, we have our bi-weekly meetings when we talk about our finances. And that was like one of the good reflections I had this year, that we actually were able to have that time where, okay, let's make a plan and how are we going to spend this money? And it was more of a team than it was, okay, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So that actually helped, just to seeing us as a team. And whenever you feel like you're not a team, I'll understand, well, I don't feel like we're at like a team right now. And then after I can clarify how I don't feel like we're a team, and we will talk about it. And if you think, so that was our key word there, that we want to make sure we're a team. And
that's powerful. You let God strengthen your marriage during the quarantine when everybody else allowed it to break theirs.
Yeah. And that was one thing.
You were in God's face. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. So I know it's not easy for a lot of people, but we had to make a decision because we had a choice at the beginning of January, either to stay together or to go. And a lot of people, I'm putting my business out there, we had that choice and we chose to stay. And we chose to
during a quarantine, y'all. During a quarantine, when it gets,
but that was before the quarantine.
I feel like the quarantine is when it's the worst, because that's when you have to stay in each other's space when you're in the like grunt, and when you're in the dirt and the trash of your relationship, and then all of a sudden you got to stay in the house with them and not go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Usually, when that's the foundation, it doesn't last. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. That's true. That's going on. So I'm reflecting myself personally, relationshiply, ministry. It's just like this year, it has been the whole for me, like my word is resiliency, you know, for just being resilient in work and ministry. And also just sometimes, you know, when you are a entrepreneur, you know, your sleep is very little. So, and God has just been showing me how to be more resourced. You know, he said, now you had the time, research, learn, teach. You know, everything that he's been telling me to do, I put into practice, and you either can take action or don't take action. And I chose to position myself to a point where, if this were to occur, that I wouldn't have to depend on a 9-to-5 job as my source, because that's not my source. You know, as you said, for you, our source is God. Mm-hmm. And I know for you, when you were saying you're going through that different transition with your job and you're asking God for a break and they paid your severance pay, that was God. They didn't have to. You were not there, but you didn't have, and it's just like, it's God.
I got a severance pay and I got a stimulus check. So it was like, you know, and not for nothing, everybody. I mean, me and Marlene are definitely talking about the ups and the positive parts.
Yeah. But,
you know, I did, you know, tell you guys that we got a prophetic word from, you know, people saying that it wasn't going to touch our family, but COVID did touch our family. You know, on another note, I don't want you guys to think, well, you know, you didn't experience loss. You know, I experienced loss. I mean, I call him my uncle, you know, he used to date my aunt, but they never got married. You know, they broke up, but I called him my uncle. You know, he caught COVID and he beat it the first time. And the second time he caught COVID, he passed away. And, you know, we had loss in our family from this disease as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, my grandmother, who loves him like a son, you know, she was the last person to physically see him because he was cleaning the yard and she caught COVID too. And she's 83 years old, but she beat it.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, you know, 83 years old,
yeah.
She beat it. And you know, I used her story as a testament to people that the minute that you find out that your loved one who is, you know, up in years, a little older, gets it, doesn't necessarily mean it's a death sentence. You know, my grandmother is a very determined woman mm-hmm. and she has grandchildren and children. So, you know, she has a family that she loves and she was not ready to go. Yeah. And the minute that she had it, she was fighting.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't laying down, just letting that thing take. She was like, no, I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do because my family needs me and I need my family and yeah. I'm not ready. There's too many things for me to do. And on top of the fact that, you know, I haven't had my babies yet, you know, yeah. and she wants to be here to see that. My grandmother exactly. was one of the people that raised me at the beginning of my life. Yeah. So it's a big deal for her to see me be a mom. And yeah. so she fought. And I want you guys to understand that, yeah, in 2020, yes, I personally can say that I experienced loss. My stepfather, you know, his brother passed away of cancer. He had been mm-hmm. fighting it for a very long time and he died of cancer.
In our family, and we love loss. Yeah. So,
you know, yeah. I mean, he, you know, to be able to know that your loved one is going through stuff like that and you can't just get up and go to them because there's a pandemic yes. is really difficult, especially with the fact that if they do catch COVID, the first thing that you have to do is isolate yourself from all your loved ones because they can't be around you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my grandmother being 83 years old, one of the most heartbreaking things that we had to deal with was the fact that she was by herself, you yeah. know, fighting mm-hmm. by herself. And, you know, my uncle who passed away, he was by himself. We didn't even know he checked himself out the hospital. He had been gone for a week before they found him.
Wow.
You know, he just didn't want to deal with it anymore. And he had, you know, went home, didn't tell anybody. And we did a wellness check and they found him in his apartment. I mean,
wow.
We were devastated mm-hmm. because he had been there for a long time and he was alone.
Yes.
You know, and
that's the hard part about being alone.
That's the hardest part. Yeah. But my grandmother, when she was going through it, you know, we called every day. Every day, yes. 7 o'clock, like clockwork. She knew that the whole family, all her kids, all her grandchildren were mm-hmm. going to call her all day long because even though she was alone, she wasn't lonely.
Yeah.
We made sure mm-hmm. they, even though we lived in Florida, she lives in Nebraska, you guys. My family called and ordered her food. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They called Chinese restaurants, got her soup, you know, had food delivered to her house. They put it on the patio. She ate every day. Mm-hmm. We sent her gifts. They sent her flowers. We called every day. Do you need something, mama? Do you need anything? Do you want anything? She was fine. She never, ever felt like she was alone.
Yeah.
Because we called her every day and she fought it. And she mm-hmm. is just ready to travel again. As soon as this is over, she's ready to come to Florida and ready to see her children and do stuff again.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, you guys. Yeah. I don't want you to think that it was exactly. all roses for us.
Now, even if you don't feel like it was a person that died, but there was loss because there were also, if you had to go to a wedding or a birthday party or a celebration, we lost that connection with people because we're not have that physical touch that we had before. So even with that, I mean, I know I had cousins that got married this year, birthday party, my parents' wedding anniversary. We did it online, but it's, you know, that physical touch with people you miss, that was a loss. So even if you did not suffer a loss of someone that passed away, you did lost that interaction, those special moments. You know, some people who are turning 40 this year, or those milestones and the graduations, you know, Like my son, his kindergarten graduation to go to first grade, he was not able to even have that. It was online. It was not the same, but at least he had something, but it was a loss. So we do grieve those things. And I know I had some point where, you know, it's not all, I say, yes, how Erica said is like, it's not all roses. I have some times this year, even in the midst of all this, what God is doing, I had some downtime when, you know, depression tried to kick in where I'm thinking, Lord, there's a lot to going on. I just need a break or I need to breathe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially when we have to go back in person as a teacher and wearing a mask and trying to teach kids and trying to make sure that they wear their mask and all that fear and anxiety. Okay, Lord, please protect me, protect those kids. The worst thing for a teacher is to be teaching and find out that one of their students passed away because of something like this. That would be a really hard thing. Even during this pandemic, I had former students that I knew passed away. And that's heartbreaking to know that you taught this child and then they are no longer there.
Their future was taken away from them.
Yeah. Exactly. So there's a lot of loss going on. And it's like asking God, we're riding this wave, you know, through COVID, you know, and why not say, Lord, I know you are going to get the glory in the end, although we can't see it now. So I know we're reflecting on how 2020 has been. And yes, it has its downside and it has its good side. But I just wanted to remember, we had to remember that to give God the glory for just, if you're listening to this, you can give God the glory for that. You're able to listen to this right now, you know, because not everybody made it to listen to this.
You know? And if you are listening to this, understand something. We're in a position right now of transformation. You know, we're about to transition into a new level. You know, God, also part of that prophecy that I had given earlier this year, I said that God said the first shall be last and the last shall be first, that 2020 was a year of transition. So the people that are on top right now are about to be on the bottom. The ones that abuse their power, God is taking them down to a different level. And the ones that were left behind or feel left behind are the ones that are going to be first. And, you know, that's us. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, if you don't believe that that's true, look at what's going on right now. We have a president-elect who has a woman vice president. That's new.
And she has all women.
And she's Black. That's new. Yeah. I want you guys to understand and to see, you know, God is still very much working and very much showing that he is involved in everything concerning us. And even though this is political, I want you to see that this is exactly what we're talking about a transitioning, about a transference, about the first being last and the last being first. God is tired of people abusing his kingdom. And this year in 2020, one of the things that he told me is, he's like, I'm tired of people straddling the fence. Either you're on my side or you're not. And in this time of quarantine, I need to know who's really in my face and who's for me and who isn't. Yeah. And the fence straddlers are going to be the ones that are going to be exposed. There's a lot of men of God and a lot of women of God that have been exposed in 2022 because God got tired of them straddling the fence. Exactly. Either you're going to understand what it means to truly follow God, to expose yourself. Because one of the things that is humbling, but also cleansing, is when you lay yourself out there naked and you allow people to know the worst parts about you when you are in a position of leadership, but you are humble enough to know that you have to step down and you need to fix it and get it right before you can lead and shepherd a group of people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because you can hurt people. What's on the head flows to the body. And if your head is obstructed and hurt, you don't want that flowing down to your body. God put you in charge of. You don't want that sickness to go over your, you know, your flock. And I think this year, there was a couple of pastors that got exposed. And, you know, as a Christian community are very, as much as we say we're not supposed to be judgmental, we are very judgmental when it comes to our own. We have to stop doing that because even though we're saved and even though we're pastors and Christians and ministers and all of that, we still fall short of the glory of God. We all do. And it's just that sometimes theirs is highlighted a little more than ours because they're in a position that you can see them more. Yep. Okay. Yep. That doesn't mean because you could see them more, they should be condemned more. Remember, yeah. every time you point your finger at somebody, there are always three fingers that point right back at you.
Yeah, exactly.
So remember, when you see your brother or your sister down, you don't sit there and kick them when they're down. You need to lift them up in prayer. If you see something, it's not for you to expose. That's another thing. It's not for you to expose somebody's shortcomings or weaknesses. It's for you to cover and pray over it. God shows us things about people so we can pray over it, not so you can expose it. It's exactly. not your story to expose. Yes. Let them work on their testimony and you work on yours.
Yes.
And in this yes. time of reflection, there's a lot of people that have been exposed to what they're working on in their testimony that you have seen and partaken of. You need to pray that God helps them get through their testimony.
Yeah.
So that they can stand before people again, pure-hearted, clean, and pure, and be able to speak about how they went through it and how they overcame it. Just yeah. like you need them to do the same for you.
Yeah, and we need to pray, keep them in prayer, and even with exposure of the people in leadership, but God was also protecting those who are young in their faith from being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So even this time of quarantine, like those who are hurting, that God was able to take them away for a little while, you know, do church online, and be able to focus more on the word than the politics.
Yeah.
You know, so because when, you know, even you're thinking, oh, church is not political, but there's a lot of politics that goes into it about who sits where, what do who does what. And God said, okay, now I just want you guys to focus on the word. So the ministers had to think, how do I get the word and the message out to the people? And, you know, and how, and then sometimes people were able to explore other churches and see, you know, go to more than one church, to see what else is being said. And you know, there was a saturation on social media of people speaking the word and spreading the word and, you know, and encouraging each other. And you know, even this podcast was a part of encouraging others, because I started not only to encourage others, but to encourage myself. So it's mm-hmm. always a good way to do that. So a lot of people did that. And that was a good thing that happened this year. Despite of all this revealing, you know, God was able to pull people apart, put them in communities that they can pray and focus on God and grow their faith with God and work on what God has called them to do. You know, and there's some ministries that does the online ministry well, and they were able to reach a lot of people who were hurting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I know we talked a lot. I don't even know how long we've been talking, but I know yeah. our reflection is this year. Yes, it's been a time of being resilient
mm-hmm.
and preparing ourselves for transition.
Yes.
That's all I've been hearing, you know, being resilient and preparing ourselves for transition. When you said the word transition, it lights me up, because that was one of the things also this year. I'm like, the Lord, I'm getting ready for transition. What do I need to do to transition? Because I know it can't stay this way, you know, and I know your will and your purpose and your plan for me, what you've put in my heart, this vision you put in my heart, is not for it to be done this way. So mm-hmm. we have to focus on that transition. So yes. as we come to the close of this year, we're going to continue doing that, reflecting, focusing on God and saying, God, what else? Yes, you might have a few more days left over, but you can still reflect and you can still give God praise and say, okay, in those last 5 days of the 2020 or the last 2 days of 2020, what else can I do for God? And that could be as little as just calling someone. Like when you said you call your grandma every day, just calling them. If you know someone that's living by themselves who is single and have no family around, give them a call.
And we still do.
Yeah.
She was so blessed by that. And that we literally try to still call her every day, even though she's beat COVID, because it just for her to have that
mm-hmm.
in this time did so much for her that we just didn't want to stop when she was done.
Yeah, even my parents, we had the little virtual stuff for them, and now they're like,
yeah,
we need to do something for December.
Dad wants
he wants to
do it again and again and again and again.
So I said, we'll do a little thing for December, so we can do a little thing for December for him. But that's, you know, something, it's for them to connect, so they are able to see all their family and connect with people that they would not normally connect around the world. You know, mm-hmm. so because they only do it on WhatsApp or on a chat, but to see people's faces, to see how you're doing. They put on their best. They were able to put on their best Sunday suit because they hadn't been able to wear their church clothes in a while. So it's a reason to dress up, even if it's from the top, the top up. There should be an ornament that shows from the top up on a Zoom camera.
I think everybody's been guilty of it this year.
Yeah, so it's just have to move forward in this year and reflect on that. So I don't have anything else to say, but I'm just glad that you guys listen to us and hear what we have to say. And I am just honored for the time that you give us just to hear our conversation, because we do really want to encourage you, and I hope this encourages you, and we do really want to pour into your life, and we like to close out with prayer.
And you guys, please, you know, by all means, you know, share your reflections on the podcast page. We would love to hear some of your reflections on the year, with your perspective, with some of the things that you went through and overcame, some maybe some new things that God showed you, some revelatory wisdom that God revealed to you during the quarantine and your time with him. And I would love to hear that. You know, it can always be a tool that you can use for your other sisters that are listening. And so we definitely encourage that.
As iron sharpen iron.
Yes.
All right, guys. So we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to pray. Okay, so I'll close this out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are an awesome God, Lord, that you have brought us through this year. And as we reflect on this year, Lord, we thank you that if we're listening to this and we're speaking right now, that you have brought us this far, Lord.
Yes.
And those who have been, that have did not make it, Lord, we are trusting that your plan, your will, and your purpose will prevail, Father God. Lord, I just thank you for the peace that you've given us right now, Lord. I thank you for the hope that we have in you, that you sent Jesus Christ on the cross to die for our sins, Father God. I thank you for my sister right now that's listening to this podcast, Lord, that you would encourage her soul, that she would see you as the one that she needs to fix her eyes on. And as she fixes her eyes on you, Lord, that you would show her how you see her, Father God. Lord, forgive us for being judgmental this year of those that have fallen short, Father God, because we have fallen short also, Lord. We thank you that you have a gracious and forgiven, you have a gracious and forgiven heart, Father God. And help us to pray for those who need prayer right now, that they would come back and fix their eyes on you, Lord. That we would, they will be able to see your glory once they have come into your presence, Father God. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We give you all the praise, Father God. And I thank you that your mercy renew every single day, Father God. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. You guys, I just want to wish you, and me and Marlene just want to wish you guys a very, very happy new year.
Happy new year, guys.
You guys, and look forward, 2021 is going to blow your socks off. You hear me? I'm speaking that in Jesus' name, prophetic word upon you, that your blessings are going to come. They're going to overcome and just overtake you in Jesus' name, like a flood. Let it be done unto you according to your faith.
Yeah, so just remember, we encourage you to speak life over your mind, your heart, your body, and your soul. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye, you guys.
Sisters Speak Life is the ministry of Rose of Alpha Omega. Find out more at roseofalphaomega.org.